A Sunday school teacher taught her class to recite the Apostles' Creed by teaching each child one phrase, one line. When the day came to do the recitation, everything went beautifully. They started out just fine. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," said the first child. And then the second child said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And so it went on perfectly until they listened to the child who said, "He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead." Then there was a silence. And after a little bit, one of the little girls stood up and kind of stammered and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." No one was there to say they believed in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think the church resembles that group of youngsters. Sometimes there just doesn't seem to be anybody there who believes in the Holy Spirit, like that little boy. But our scripture this morning tells us of the coming of the Spirit. There was an op-ed written sometime back by a British newspaper writer, Bernard Levin, and I find it quite descriptive of our times today. He wrote, "Countries like ours," speaking of Britain, "are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family. And yet they lead lives of quiet desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them, that however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff into it, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches." Do you know what he's writing about? Do you perhaps have a hole, or do you know someone who does? That void inside that needs filling. Deepak Chopra, the popular writer and dispenser of New Age wisdom, said something similar. He said, "There seems to be a hole in the middle of everyday life, as if a rock had been thrown through a plate glass window. But instead of a physical hole, one could call this a meaning hole, a hole in our meaning." This is what the Holy Spirit is all about, filling that void, filling that hole that could give meaning to our lives. The Holy Spirit came upon the church on the feast day that originally was a harvest day, and through the years it became a celebration of God's gift to Moses on Mount Sinai of the Ten Commandments. For Christians, Pentecost became a celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, the new people of God. You know the story. Before his ascension, Jesus had told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait there for him. He would send the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure they didn't have a clue what he was talking about, but they had seen Jesus die. They had seen him resurrected. They had seen him come back to life. So when he told them to go there and wait, they were going to wait. It didn't matter what they were waiting for. Jesus had told them to wait. Now, it was Pentecost. The city was full of visitors from all over. It was the custom to come to Jerusalem for this very, very sacred time in the Jewish life. And here were the disciples gathered together in one room. They're probably because they were gathered as Jews celebrating Pentecost, the season that they celebrated the giving of the law. And here was the Holy Spirit coming to give the Spirit to the people. Not just the law, but here was the Spirit. Suddenly there was a sound like a blowing wind. Hear it rumbling through. The people were speaking in other tongues. Now it doesn't say unknown tongues that we think of as Pentecostal, but they were speaking other known languages. That's why the people outside heard their own language being spoken. They didn't know what was happening. Aren't these Galileans? How can they know my native language, whatever it may have been? Now, if I were suddenly to burst out speaking in tongues, some of you would probably go, oh my goodness gracious, because we don't do that kind of thing in our church. But if I began to speak flawless German or flawless Italian or Arabic, none of which have I ever studied, that would really be a miracle. To speak a language fluently, to be understood by the natives, when you haven't even studied it, that's what these disciples were doing. God arranged for the Holy Spirit to come down on these early Christians on the very day that thousands of Jews from all over the known world had gathered in Jerusalem for this Jewish festival. They heard their own languages, and they had come from all over the known world. When the crowd heard the sound of the wind blowing and the disciples speaking, they were totally bewildered because each one heard their own language. Pentecost is known as the birthday of the church. However, this celebration is different from any other Christian celebration. All of our other celebrations have to do with Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. But this holiday, this special event, has to do with the Holy Spirit coming to the people. It is sometimes described as the most misunderstood of the triune God. And this is understandable because we speak of God the Father and God the Son. These are human terms. These are relationships that most of us are familiar with. But a spirit? We're not quite sure about that. Maybe it's a ghost of some sort. The Holy Spirit is indeed the most misunderstood of the Godhead. But it is what helps us make sense out of our lives. It is what helps us fill up that hole I was talking about a little earlier. Something happens, everything's going beautifully, and then the telephone rings and whoops, our world's turned upside down for some reason or another. And what do? We sit down with the Bible and we read. And sometimes it's like the words are still written in Greek. We just don't understand them. They just don't make sense. And we'll say, dear Lord, what in the world are you trying to tell me today? The Holy Spirit is like God whispering in our ear to tell us what it all means. That amazing preacher of the gospel, Dr. Tom Long, tells of his high school years. He was in a band at the time, and he was in awe of Jimmy Reed. Now, Reed, as some of you may remember, was a legend in the 50s and the 60s. He had his harmonica, and he took the music of the Mississippi Delta and brought it into mainstream rock and roll. Elvis, Rolling Stones, all of those greats of the 50s and 60s owed a debt to Jimmy Reed. And Tom Long wrote about his band, and they would listen and listen to those records, the old 45s, if any of you still have any of those. They'd listen to him over and over with Jimmy Reed playing his harmonica. And if you listen very, very carefully, it was as though you could hear a soft woman's voice right before each stanza, each line. She would say the words very quietly. And the story that grew out of that was that Jimmy Reed was so into the music and the beat and the riffs and all of this that he couldn't remember the words to the songs he had written. So this was his wife standing next to him, whispering into his ear the next words of his song so that he would know them when he had to sing them. And Tom Long wrote that this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit whispers into our ear what it is we need to know about God. The Holy Spirit whispers into our ear to bring us closer to God and to bring God closer to us. This is the task of the Holy Spirit for Christians. It is God whispering to us. Whispering in our ear to comfort, to encourage, to help us make sense of our lives, to help us fill that hole that we sometimes experience. It is the Spirit of God whispering into our ear that we are children of God. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit that tells us who we are and whose we are. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. Let me say that again. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to accomplish what God has sent us to accomplish. Now, Jesus had given the disciples a great commission. Now, how would you like it if I stood up here today and I said, okay, folks, today you're going to walk out that door and you're going to go into all the corners of the earth and you're going to make disciples of all the world. You're going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Would you take on that job? I don't think I would want to. But the Holy Spirit was there to empower the people of God to do what it was that God had called them to do. They could not have done this without the power of the Holy Spirit. But they did it with the power. With the power. Christ had made them a promise, I will be with you always. And it is the Holy Spirit that came to be with the people of God, to show them what it was that God wanted them to accomplish, and then to empower them, empower us to do it. I like the way Corrie Ten Boom describes the work of the Holy Spirit. You probably remember her. She was a Dutch Christian. And she and her family hid Jews during World War II. And eventually the family was arrested by the Gestapo and taken to concentration camps. Well, Corrie was the only one of her family to survive. And she's well known for books that she has written and speeches she has made. And she became very famous. And she told one of her audiences, I have a glove here in my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself, But when my hand is in it, it can do many things. True, it is not the glove, but it is my hand that acts. We are gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who is the hand, who gets the job done. We have to make room for the hand, for the Holy Spirit, so that every finger of the glove is filled. This is our task. If we want to do something great for God, we have to make room for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills a hole in our life. It makes sense out of life. It helps us understand God's purpose for our life. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. There's a story that comes out of Frontier Days about three women that got together every week to do a Bible study together. And one day they came across a reading that talked about refining fire. Refining fire with silver. And they didn't know what that meant. What's refining fire? What does that have to do with silver? So one of the women volunteered to go to the local silversmith and find out. She didn't tell him why she was there, but she just asked questions about the process. And he began to describe to her all of the things that needed to be done and how hot the temperature needed to be, and you put the silver in the hottest part of the fire, but you had to watch it because if you kept it in the heat too long, it would be ruined. So she asked the question, well, how do you know when it is finished and it's right? And he said, well, that's easy. You'll know because you can see your reflection in it. Tempering silver. God wants to see his reflection in us. He wants others to see his reflection in us. That's what is meant by tempering fire. He wants to see his reflection in us. He wants others to see his reflection in us. This is what we mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, even though the little boy may not be in attendance that night. I believe in the Holy Spirit to make sense of my life and to understand God's purpose for me. That's what he does for all of us. It is God giving us the power to accomplish what God has told us he wants us to accomplish, each and every one of us. It is God working in our lives, each of our lives, helping us to become what God has created us to be. What God has created us to be, and what God has called us to accomplish, can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. May it be so. Amen.